Welcome into the Yards After College podcast powered by KSLSports.com. We are back in week six, or post week six, after Sam and I took a little bye in week five. Needed a little recharge there, Sam, but we're back. We're ready to go at it. How was your week six, dude? Did you enjoy the slate of games that we had this week?
Yeah, there were some really good games.
I love Thursday night football. It was so good.
Yeah. Thursday night was awesome. I still need to find out if there were more cutaways of Taylor Swift than the Broncos scored points. Because I know they're trying to not emphasize her so much, but the Broncos only scored 8 points. I would think that Taylor Swift was probably on camera at least 8 times. I don't know, but that was awful. But yeah, there were some, I think, some surprisingly good games that I really enjoyed watching. The Browns and 49ers, the Browns defense is legit, but man, to see them give the Niners their Brock Purdy's first loss, right? That was pretty legit there. I was really into Sunday night football. I think a lot of people were, but I mean, it took till the fourth quarter, because that game was not great, but the end was pretty darn exciting. It was pretty awesome. And so that was a lot of fun seeing the Giants actually have a chance. They got the late PI to put them for an untimed down from the 1 yard line. I mean, that was pretty thrilling. The Jets handing the Eagles their first loss, that was a pretty good game too. I mean, there's a lot of look, the NFL always gives you what you're looking for. You just don't know where you're always going to find it, but it was a good week.
Yeah. Isn't that a funny thing that, like, sometimes going into the week, you'll hear like these pundits be like, yeah, the slate's a little down this week, you know, like we don't have very many great matchups or whatever. And then it never disappoints. Like, everybody on Sunday night football, like the Football Night in America panel last night, they're just going down the line. It's like Bills, 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 Bills. And then the Giants led for like the entire, you know, first three quarters of the game, almost pulled it off in the end. It's just, there's so much parity in the league that, you know, right. It really truly is. Any team can be any team any given Sunday. So pretty fun to watch and see. But, you know, Sam, the locals, my gosh, I feel like I've been saying it every week this week or this season. It is amazing to me that we have not had like a really down week this year. Like there were a few the last couple years where it was like, man, there was only like one guy who made like, you know, like a highlight worthy play, like a touchdown or an interception, something like that. But there have been just like multiple big time performances every single week through the first, you know, month and a half of the season so far. So let's get started there. Let's get started with your three stars of the week. Who do you have lined up to hand out some hardware this week, Sam?
Well, my honorary star of the week is not for any performance on the field, but I'm just excited for him. And I know it, you know, there was an injury involved in this, but Jaren Hall being promoted to backup quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, that's pretty exciting. Obviously, Nick Mullins getting put on IR kind of opened that up for Hall to be elevated from third string to second string behind Kirk Cousins. But look, and I know he hasn't done anything on the field in an NFL game yet, but the fact of the matter is he's one play away from being inserted into a game with the Minnesota Vikings. So I hope he's ready. I hope he's learning a lot. And if that time comes, I hope he shines. But I just wanted to shout that out, Jaren Hall. We got our eyes on him. We're excited for him, and hopefully he gets his opportunity to shine. All right. But for my three stars, we'll start with my third star of the week.
Third star.
So my third star of this week goes to a guy that has not gotten a star yet this week. He's been great in the NFL for multiple seasons, but there it is. Taron Johnson, my third star of the week. Look, he has been a solid NFL defensive back for years. And sometimes when you're a really solid and really good NFL defensive back, it doesn't show up in the box score so much because you're locking down receivers. You know, they're not getting passes. Like I saw a stat last week or the week before about quarterback rating against that specific player, and Jalen Johnson was in that like top five for
Oh
best,
yeah,
you
you
know,
never hear his
lowest.
name.
Right. You never hear his name in the game. You never see him in the box score that much, but he's doing his job. And that's a
Yep.
stat that shows right there. Jalen Johnson is out there just doing his job. When you don't hear from a cornerback that much, they're probably doing a pretty good job.
When
Champ Bailey
they
was
don't throw the
really good
ball
at that.
your way.
Yes, 100%. Champ Bailey was like the king of that. And Champ had some great statistical seasons too, but near the end of his career, you didn't see him in the box score hardly at all because they just didn't want to throw it his way. And if they did, it was very highly contested. I think Taron Johnson's doing a similar job with the Buffalo Bills. And on Sunday Night Football, he was one of the team leaders in tackles too. So he's not afraid to mix it up with a receiver or a ball carrier to get in there and lay the wood. And then obviously at the end of the game, he was right there in the mix in defending that potential game-winning touchdown play from the Giants. And yes, there could have been a flag thrown, but there wasn't. And look, he did his job and got it done. So I give Taron Johnson my third star.
Hey, just on that, props to Taron Johnson, but I'm gonna move off his performance for just a second. So the play before that, they throw a flag, PI, final play of the game, right? Time runs out in regulation, they throw the PI. They never throw that flag. Never. Like the odds of that getting thrown are like super low, right? But they actually threw it. The odds that they were gonna throw it on the next play. Like Taron knew that, right? Like he's like,
Zero.
they're not throwing that flag again. Had a little jersey tug. No
The
harm, no
only
foul.
way they do is if he's like basically tackling or hugging the guy. You know, that's the only way they do it
Yeah.
there. Yeah. And you know,
Do you appreciate that though, Sam? Like, do you like the fact that like refs kind of quote unquote like let him play on the final play
let
of the
him
game?
play.
Because
Let him
I
play.
like it, but at the same time. When some of those are so egregious, like I did feel like the one that they threw initially was more warranted than the one that Johnson may or may have been called for.
I agree. I think the first one that they actually threw the flag on, I think it was a little more blatant, a little more obvious than Taron Johnson's. I do agree with letting them play, letting them go one on. I love one on one with a receiver and a defensive back. Just let the quarterback put it somewhere where the receiver can make a play, and let's see if the defensive back can stop him. I love that. But it does need to be fair. I'm okay with the running back or the defensive back kind of being all over the guy, draped all over him. But when you're grabbing with your hands, that changes things a little bit. It doesn't allow the receiver to create separation in the air, to jump, you know, and things like that. So that's where I might have a little bit of a problem. That's where my biggest problem is with it, I should say. Don't grab, you know, stick your hands on them, maybe put a forearm in their back, like in the NBA or something, you know. And I'm okay with all of that. But preventing the receiver from being able to get up off the ground, I think I you know it is what it is. It
Yeah.
is what it is, but I do appreciate referees knowing the situation and knowing when to kind of, you know, keep their hands in their pockets a little bit.
Hey, for what it's worth, I wish they would have ran Saquon Barkley just for my fantasy team. Just for my fantasy team. That's all.
I'm
That's
surprised. I'm surprised they didn't. Every NFL running back should be able to get at least 1 yard if you drop the right play, I think. And Saquon is good enough, but he did look a little hobbled a couple plays before that. So I don't know. Maybe that's the reason. I don't know. But
All right, Sam, who is your number two star of the week?
Second star.
okay, number two star this week. We're going to go with a BYU Cougar. He was outstanding again. I'm going to give it to linebacker Fred Warner. He very well could have been my first star. And in fact, I was kind of flip-flopping between who my first star is and Fred. But Fred, I mean, the thing is like he does this every week. Fred Warner, if he's not a top two or three player for defensive player of the year, then what's happening? What's the problem? The guy is amazing. His tackle numbers weren't huge, but he still had seven or eight tackles in the game, which was, I think, second on the team in that game against the Browns. And he had an interception. And how many times do we see Fred Warner mixing it up in the pass game as well on the defensive side of the ball? And so, I mean, the guy is just so good. Anything he does is not shocking anymore. So sometimes it's hard to throw a star at him, but he deserves one. So he's my second star.
Yeah, the thing that's cool about Fred is like he doesn't have a weakness in his game. Like
No.
he's great at rushing, he's great in, dropping back, he's great in, locating the ball and like, deflecting it. He's also great on like a tip drill kind of a thing. Like he's everything that you would want out of a linebacker in the NFL. It's just amazing to see. And I think it's cool that he's been able to really shine because he's been on a good team for most of his career. They've had a couple of down seasons, but for the most part, he's been playing and, late into the postseason, played in the Super Bowl. Like I think a lot of that helps shine and elevate his game as well when you're playing in those meaningful matchups. And so even though they lost yesterday, like, being one of the last two undefeated teams, like that all kind of helps his case, which I think is pretty cool as well. And so I don't expect the 49ers to drop off or anything. I wanted to highlight the fact that like the 49ers are really good, and a lot of that is because of Fred Warner, and I think it's kind of like mutually beneficial, right?
100%. Yeah, he's the heart and soul of that defense. And, if their offense can continue to hum with Brock Purdy, then they are going to be one of the front runners in the NFC.
All right, Sam. I'm interested to see, since I thought it was going to be Fred, but who is your top star for the week?
All right, here it is, the number one star.
Star.
So, did you see the Miami Dolphins game?
I saw parts of it.
Tyreek Hill, right? Six catches, I think, 100 and whatever ridiculous yards and a touchdown. I mean, the guy is crazy good.
Yeah.
But did you know there
I
was another Hill with
did.
more receptions than Tyreek?
It's because I watched KSL Sports Live last night that I knew this.
Yes. And his name is Taysom Hill. So I'm giving him the star. Look, the numbers aren't like eye-popping or anything. He just continues to be that Mr. Everything for the New Orleans Saints. He can do it all. In years past, he's been a little more of a statistical, like a fantasy value type guy, right? He's really not that player, at least not yet this year, but he continues to do things that no one else in the league does. He throws a pass for, it was only 4 yards, but he completes the one pass he throws. He carries the ball just once for 2 yards, fine. And then seven receptions. Pretty sure that's his career high. I should have looked that up. But seven receptions as the starting tight end. This might be the first time where he was a starting tight end in a game, too. 49 yards is all he got off of it, but still, I mean, I love it. I love to see the evolution of Taysom Hill. The quarterback thing seems to be fading further and further in the distance, but he still has NFL life if he can continue to do these things that he's doing. And look, I wouldn't be surprised if in 2, 3 years from now, he's not really fitting into the offensive scheme like this, the way that it has been successfully in the past. But you could probably plug him in like a Daniel Sorensen type safety special teamer, and he would still be able to play for two or three more solid NFL seasons doing that, right? That's
Yeah.
the kind of guy Taysom Hill is. It wouldn't shock me to see some kind of change like that later in his career, but I got to give it to him. I don't know if he'll make it on the list that much this year, but his seven reception game, I thought that was worthy of the top star this week.
Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't found the end zone that yet so far this
Right.
season. That's the one thing that's kind of been a little surprising to me. But I did want to point out on you guys pulled the clip of him last night, but it was Mark Schlereth of our sister station in Denver, Denver Sports, but he was on the call for that game. And I love Stink's breakdowns of stuff because like he's all ball, right? Like he just like he doesn't mess around. Like if you're not like all football, all effort, like he's like, I'm done with you. Like we're football is football, and like he loved that about Taysom in that game, right? Like you could tell that he appreciated that, like Taysom Hill, like he may not be like, a starting quarterback in the NFL, but my gosh, like Schlereth was like, Taysom Hill is a freaking football player, and I thought that was a pretty cool clip that you guys pulled of that call, and just kind of highlights just kind of who Taysom is, the fact that he was willing to stay with the Saints to be able to just be like, hey, I'm willing to help the team and just do whatever I need to be able to, continue to play football in the NFL is pretty cool. All right, well, Sam, I always appreciate your 3 stars of the week. I like breaking them down. I will say we need to mention a couple other ones because we had so many great performances this week. But Rashid Shaheed, former Weber State Wildcat, got his
Great
second
game.
touchdown reception of the season, which was great to see. And then Dalton Schultz, you guys mentioned this on the TV last night, but after a really slow start to the season, he's come alive for the Texans and become that guy that we talked about. I think it was 2 weeks ago we were talking about the fact that we thought he was going to be that main target for CJ Stroud, and it's really come to fruition here in the last 3 games.
Yeah, Dalton Schultz was outstanding. He is becoming that, especially in the red zone. You want that. It's a great tight end is a great safety valve, especially for a young quarterback. And so the quicker that CJ Stroud can develop a good rapport with someone as good as Dalton Schultz, the better for Stroud, the better for Schultz too. And then yeah, Shaheed, he continues to be that lightning in a bottle. You just never know when he's going to break loose. Got that 50-yarder on Sunday. And man, I love it when he gets the ball in his hands because anything can happen.
Yeah, and then lastly, Zach Moss got in the end zone again. I mean, we thought with JT coming back for the Colts that, things might slow down. And I think they will. I think they will. But he's scored 3 touchdowns in the last 2 games since Jonathan Taylor has signed his new extension. And then I think I was looking at it. It was either late last night or early this morning. I can't remember, but the snap count for JT is almost about on par with what Zach Moss is. So they're getting closer to that 50-50 split, and so I think you'll end up starting to see that kind of overtake, especially with Anthony Richardson out of the lineup for the Colts right now. I think they're going to start leaning more heavily on Jonathan Taylor as he gets more worked into the offense there. But if you told me at the beginning of the season that at week 5, week 6, or I guess, yeah, after week 6, that Zach Moss would have missed a game and would be like top 5 rushing or top 6 rushing in the league and have 5 touchdowns, like it's not something that I would have had on my bingo card, Sam.
No, not at all. I've loved seeing the opportunity he's been given this season. Not to take this to the college realm much, but you look at what's happening with the University of Utah, and it's like, man, they need a Zach Moss on that team. Now, maybe they found one this last week and in their safety that transitioned over to running back, but it just makes me appreciate more and more what we saw at the University of Utah when Zach Moss was their ball carrier there. And so seeing him do what he's doing now with the Colts, very similar to what he did with you, it's just been outstanding. And this last game, like you mentioned, statistics weren't as big, touches weren't as many, but it was the same for Jonathan Taylor too. It was just not a game that running wasn't in the game plan as much. They both still had about 5 or 6 receptions each too, so they're getting touches, and as long as they continue to give Zach an opportunity, I think he'll continue to succeed.
The thing that I think is awesome, and I'm glad you actually brought up the college aspect, because I feel like after his first few seasons in Buffalo, we didn't see that same running style. I know we've like talked about that point so much about like his time in Buffalo, but this season especially, I'm like, he looks like the Zach Moss that we saw his senior year, junior year at Utah. And I actually think that he's an improved player out of the backfield as a receiver. He reminds me, like, Utah fans won't want to hear this, but he reminds me like a bigger, like more like bruising kind of a back than Jamal Williams, but like he's becoming that like out of the backfield kind of a Jamal Williams type back, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like I said, give him the touches and he will make the most of them.
Well, Sam, that was a solid recap on week six, I will say. We had just some fun performances, and I think that on average right now we're averaging like probably like 5 to 6 like high caliber, like it's on SportsCenter like kind of plays that are being made by the local players, which I just love seeing. I know you love seeing as well, and then you guys break it down every Sunday night just perfectly on KSL Sports Live. But let's look ahead real quick before we sign off. Let's look ahead to week seven. There are some fun matchups this week. We've got Thursday night football starting off with the Jacksonville Jaguars and the New Orleans Saints. You mentioned Taysom Hill. We talked about Rashid Shaheed. Nephi Sewell got on the box score this last week with a tackle as well. I'm interested to see how long Jamal Williams is going to be out. He's still on IR there with the Saints, but which of these games, I mean, Sunday Night Football is going to be amazing, Sam, but if you want to take Sunday Night Football, you can take that as your game of the week. I feel like I always pick first, so I'm going to go with you first. What's your game of the week that you're looking forward to most?
Well, yeah, it's like Sunday Night Football. It's funny because Jeremiah and myself, as we were walking into the studio at the end of this last Sunday night game, and they were teasing ahead to next week's matchup, we looked at each other like, "Oh, Dolphins, Eagles," and I immediately had to turn to Jeremiah. I'm like, "Are we already in the flex portion of the season? Because if not, man, they struck it rich with that pick, that matchup, Dolphins, Eagles, both being 5-1. That's going to be a great game." But for the sake of choosing a different game this week, I always like the Monday night matchups. I'm excited about that one as well, the Niners and Vikings. I know the Vikings were my preseason pick out of the NFC. I still have faith that they might be able to swing things around, but it's not looking great. But the but they're, you know what, the team that I don't want to say excited because I really don't care one way or the other for them. But the Lions and Ravens, it's a 5-1 team against a 4-2 team. The Lions are doing things that a 5-1 record, this is only the fifth time since 1970 that they've ever started 5-1. And I don't think it's ever been 6-1. So win
Such a cursed
over
franchise.
the Ravens. Yeah, they've never been there before. And it's almost like clockwork. It's almost like every decade. They did it like in 71, 80, 90, something like that, 2011. And now here we are in 2023 where they're 5-1 and Jared Goff is playing out of his mind. Well, that game will definitely grab my attention.
My game is the Chargers at the Chiefs on Sunday afternoon. And the reason why I picked this game is because if the Chargers lose this game, I think Brandon Staley, his seat gets super hot because then you're under 500, you've lost to the Chiefs. Like that's a game that like this many years in now, like Justin Herbert and Brandon Staley, like that duo quarterback head coach, like you need to start picking that game off like at least once a year. You've got to at least like split that matchup. And it is in Kansas City, which is tough. So like if you can get a win there, like that says a lot about the Chargers. I just the Chiefs are so tough. And if Taylor Swift's in the house, you never know. You never know what's gonna happen. They might just continue to win because they're undefeated with her. But I will mention the Packers are coming off of a bye. So Jordan Love has had a week now to sit back, look at his rough performance from a week ago, and he's going into Denver against, I'm sorry, Sam,
They're not good.
your team's probably the second worst team in the league. I think the Panthers are worse because they are just, I've watched two Panthers games this year and I had to turn both of them off. I just couldn't do it. They were so bad. But the Broncos, they have talent here and there, but they cannot put it together. And I'm interested to see if, like Zach Wilson, not a great performance against the Broncos in Denver, but Zach came out with a win, played a clean game of football. I want to see the same kind of thing from Jordan Love. He doesn't have to light it up. He doesn't have to blow us away. Going to Denver, typically a hostile environment, play at elevation, just play clean football, get a win against a bad football team. That's what I want to see on Sunday afternoon from him.
Yeah, I think he's got a good opportunity to shine for sure. I'm excited. I'm excited for him and that matchup too. There's only a couple of players I've mentioned it before that I would keep on that Broncos roster, and after that, it's a wholesale. I would keep Patrick Surtain the second. I would keep Justin Simmons. Everyone else, put them on the market, put them on the trading block. See what you can do and what you can get in return.
Surtain might be the only guy that you get any value for.
Right, exactly. And so, who knows? It's rough. It's rough in Denver, which, hey, good opportunity for someone like Jordan Love to come in and take advantage of the downtime.
Well, Sam, what can you tease for us this week? I know we've got a big week of sports here on the station, and I think we've got a little high school football playoff action, don't we?
Yeah, we do. So these last several weekends, our show has been like all football, 100% football. It's crazy. Like between high school, the colleges, and the NFL, we can fill a 45-minute show really easily with really great content. Now, this last week, and maybe even the Sunday before, we started to squeeze in a teeny bit of NBA as the Jazz have been getting ready to get going again. So we'll see it similarly this weekend. A whole bunch of football. If you're a football fan at any level in the state of Utah and you're not watching KSL Sports Live on Sunday nights, you are missing out on a lot of just awesome content. So 10:45 Sunday night, we will be there with loaded content from the Utes at USC, BYU and Texas Tech, locals in the NFL, high school state playoffs week one, and sprinkle in a little bit of Utah Jazz for you too.
Yeah, JJ and Sam and the crew do not disappoint on Sunday nights. Be sure to check that out. You can follow Sam on all things social media. I know he's been a little active on Threads as well. And you can find him
Try it.
on Threads, Twitter, Instagram at Samsworth_TV. Until next week, I'm Kyle Ireland. You can follow me on social media at Kyle Ireland. And this has been Kyle and Sam, Yards After College Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.